Topic tonight, our subject, our message is on God's blessings. And we have a very familiar scripture that we'd like to start with tonight in Psalms 116. I believe it tells of the psalmist's journey from nature to grace, and I believe it was David. But if we could go on down just a little bit further, to the 12th verse, the question is asked, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And I believe that it would not do any harm to our reading lesson tonight to use the word blessings. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his blessings toward me? What shall I give back? What is due? What shall I, how shall I express my love? And I believe today, as we approach this Thanksgiving season, the special time of the year, that we should be thankful for the blessings that God has given us, thankful for the times that He has blessed us, for the present blessings, and for the blessings that are out in the future. Every one of us that's been saved by the grace of God, as already been mentioned tonight, we look through a glass darkly. There's blessings ahead for those that have been saved by the grace of God. Not only do we experience and enjoy the blessings of God now and in days gone by, what a subject tonight, God's blessings. Webster's dictionary tells us that blessings are statements of divine favor. I looked around a little bit further, and I looked in Smith's Bible dictionary, and I found one that suited my taste just a little bit better. Seemed like I could understand it somewhat better. And it tells us that blessings are favors, acts of exceptional kindness, or benefits specially given by God. So tonight, as we think about God's blessings, there are a lot of people that may look at their lives and they may look at things and their everyday situations and consider them blessings. And no doubt they are, because the Bible tells us how that God blesses the just and the unjust, that it rains on the just and the unjust. When people obey and trust and look to God and depend on Him, the Bible tells us time and time again that He will bless them. We see it in the Old Testament, we see it in the New Testament, and we experience it daily in our lives. When we trust the Lord, He'll bless us. When we depend on Him and we follow the teachings of God's Word, when people fail to honor God, we see the opposite occurring, a curse. Blessings and cursings seem to sit on a two-pronged branch that are before us. And as we that are saved by the grace of God, we follow after the Lord and His Spirit as it guides us, we enjoy the blessings that only God can give. But when we turn away from the Lord and turn our backs to what we know is right, then we find that God is one that not only will He reprove us, but there is a chastening hand of God, a correcting hand. And we're thankful for that blessing tonight. Blessings and cursings are God's to give as He sees fit. Many times God's blessings were conditional. I'd like to read just a little bit about in the very beginning of time. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. The blessing was conditional. Everything that man needed was provided. But when Adam disobeyed God willingly, and he took of that forbidden fruit, he said, you can eat of any tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, don't eat of that because you'll die. The Bible tells us how that Adam took of that, and the whole race was plunged into sin. Blessings and cursing from God. In Genesis 12 and 1, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will shew thee. He was telling Abraham to leave the Ur of Chaldees, and to go on out and follow as I direct you. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Very familiar scripture that's conditional to the blessings of God. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God still blesses in this same manner today. We should adhere to his commandments. I like to read about Mark 12 and 28. I don't have to be around somebody very long, but what they can see that I need things plain and simple and easy to understand. As I tried to pray and study for this lesson, my mind kept going back to a little English teacher that I had as a junior in high school. She was an older lady, and she was small, and she was, I thought at the time, a very sophisticated lady. And she made a point to tell me that, in fact, sometimes she'd always bring up Calvin Coolidge to me. She'd say, you're like Silent Cal. She would tell me how that Teddy Roosevelt would say, speak softly and carry a big stick, and you will do well, and you'll do well. She made these points to, I guess, knowing that for I needed to be a good listener. And sometimes she would say that it would do me well for me when someone's talking, just to, if they say something, just to remain silent and let them think that you're not very smart, than to speak and remove all doubt. She just kept pushing these things at me. And I don't know if that was my nature or I was groomed, but when God called me to preach, when the Lord called me to preach, I was a very shy man. And I remember in going to Western, one of the very last classes that I took was public speaking or speech. And I looked around and there were a lot of my friends there. And I thought about how that the Lord takes and uses different people, different ways, to be a blessing to other people. And I thought about how that I've always had trouble discerning between the preachers and the teachers. I know when God put His hand upon me, He said, preach. But I also know that preachers and elders should be apt to teach. I understand that. And I heard one definition. I really don't think there's too much truth to that, but they said teachers tell it and the preachers yell it. I don't really think there's too much to that, but I believe it takes the Holy Spirit of God, whether it's in a low voice or whether God is blessing and people are shouting, it takes the Spirit of God. And I believe that's how the blessings come. The Bible tells us how, in this simple way, in this plain way, Jesus spoke to the scribes in Mark 12 and 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love the Lord, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I thought about how that God's blessings have been shown, it seems like, about every lesson that's been taught, someone brings up the name Joseph. Joseph was a man that God blessed. And a lot of times during Joseph's journey, I'm sure he must have questioned whether or not these were blessings from God, as his brothers conspired to kill him. And then they wound up selling him off on down into Egypt. And even as he went into Potiphar's home and was cast into prison. And the Bible tells us all of these things happened to Joseph. And as he heard the dreams that were before him, the butler and the baker and so on. And then he got to the place where that he heard Pharaoh's dreams. And God helped him to interpret these. God interpreted the dreams for him. And I think about how that Joseph said unto his brethren as he faced them again. He said, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Joseph had a vision that most of us don't have. The scriptures tell us where there is no vision, people perish. Joseph could see that even though things may not have happened just the way that he had it planned, that when he trusted the Lord, when he depended on God, that he could expect a blessing. He could expect that God would give him the things that the Lord knew were needed. God knew all about the famine. God knew all about how that he would get honor and glory from Joseph. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. Our subject tonight is God's blessing. God blesses many times. in ways that you and I are not expecting. He brings us to a place that we could never get to by ourselves. I'm thankful for that tonight. Joseph saw that. Many other the patriarchs in the Word of God, they realized that. So now, Joseph said, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Many times we look out of our eyes and we think of blessings, and they are. We think of blessings as having a nice home and a new car and clothes that are fashionable, jobs that allow us to pay our bills without much strain. They are blessings from God, and there's nothing wrong with that. But that's not always how God's blessings come. God's blessings are often overlooked. Matthew 5:24, Jesus said that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. As we think about a man that several of you here may remember. I remember at Rough Hill, Brother Melvin Stinson one time, in his talk, I hadn't been saved long, wasn't brought up in this way, but he made the statement, I want to thank God for the blessing of conviction, of conviction. Without that, none of us could have been saved. As the Spirit of God reproves us and the goodness of God leads us to repentance, and as we begin to call upon the name of the Lord, he made that simple statement. And I thought to myself, that's a true statement. It is strange but true. It's a paradox, a statement. That's true, but seems to say two opposite things. I think about a lot of things that are blessings in the sight of God. They're God's blessings. The old preacher that preached the gospel to you, that told you what a wicked person you were. There wasn't anything good about you, that you were going off into a lake of fire. That's called hell. If you didn't get saved, if you didn't seek the Lord until you found him precious to your soul. God's blessings. They're without money and without price. Isaiah said, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Money cannot buy salvation. I've heard a song that's out, been out a while. The title of it is Treasures That Money Can't Buy. Price was paid on Calvary. God's not looking for silver and gold. He's going to be looking to see if that soul has been washed in the blood of his darling son. Have you been saved by the grace of God? Money can't buy peace, contentment, happiness. Money can't buy love. Can't buy friends. It can't buy family. Don't you think we're in a just like a hamster in a spinning wheel? Just seems like everything that's brought up to us in this day and time has something to do with the carnal things of life. I guess the old saying is still true that the best things in life are free. You can't buy these things. They're blessings that God gives. They're things that no matter where the stock market lands, whether the gold goes up, silver, or the oil, whatever it does, one day after a while, we're going to leave all of this behind. I'm thankful that I'm saved. I'm thankful for the blessing of conviction. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit of God was left in the world to reprove it of sin, of righteousness, and a judgment to come. And that I felt that godly sorrow that worked repentance unto salvation. I'm like Brother Melvin. I'm thankful for God's blessings. Even though they may seem to be hard to bear at times, I believe that God tries us sometimes, that God's blessings may require patience on our part, waiting for God to lift a veil, that we can understand His blessings out in the future. I thought about today, there's a song, talking with Brother Wayne about it just a few minutes ago, called The Homecoming Week, number 198 in the Select Church Songs, Old Green Book. And it says, what's inside those gates of pearl will be worth everything. And when we're inside those gates of pearl, we'll learn a lot of things. There's a lot of things that God hadn't let you and He hadn't let me in on. He's blessed us in a lot of ways that we may never get the full grasp of it. But one day after a while, we'll have a grand homecoming week. That song said the first 10,000 years. Aren't you glad you're saved tonight? God's blessings. Troubles, trials, we're not exempt. Christ wasn't exempt. Our forefathers willing to give their lives for this way. I believe the greatest blessing God has ever given the world is Jesus. We don't have to go too deep to find that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Not through some other preacher. Not because your name's on the church roll. Not because you've obeyed a few of the church ordinances, or you've submitted yourself to certain sacraments. That's not how the Scripture says. But that the world through Him might be saved. Colossians 2 and 9. Apostle Paul said, for in Him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. I like to read, there's a couple other places in some other books that use this same preface, I guess you'd say, Paul did to Timothy. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. You know, when the groundwork's laid like that in these different places, it kind of makes me want to look just a little bit closer. All of the scriptures are blessed special. But 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. If you've ever experienced God's blessings, you've taken your place as a sinner, the chief of sinners, just as Paul did, I believe, there on the road to Damascus when the Lord saved him and called him to preach. I don't know how you felt when you were lost, but the insects on the ground seemed large to the way I felt. I felt so horrible and despicable. The Bible said the Lord is nigh to them that be of a broken heart and save us such that be of a contrite, of a crushed spirit. These are God's blessings. I'm thankful for the old church. It's a blessing, one of God's blessings that we have, that we can come here. And we can gather together. We can learn together. We can fellowship together. We can feel God's blessings. 1 Timothy 4 and 9, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Christ, a special Savior. The Bible said that Jesus died, for we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Christ died for all, but if you've been saved, he's a special Savior. He's the one. He's the one that paid your price. He's the one that paid my price. He's the one that sacrificed his blood. He's the one that is the all-sufficient Savior, the Savior that we've heard preached about tonight. Many of God's blessings are better felt than told. We have a great promise from God that cannot lie. Eternal life is waiting for all the blood bought redeemed. There's a lot of terms that I just, there was a time that I wouldn't bother me any, but there's a lot of terms in religion that bother me. And I think most of you understand what I'm talking about, to accept Christ, to make a decision, and all the other things along that line. But it doesn't bother me to talk about the blood bought redeemed. It doesn't bother me to tell somebody about being saved, being born again, washed in the blood of Jesus. One day soon, we're going home to be with God. If you've been saved by the grace of God, we're going home. I was listening to someone, I don't remember even who it was or what the song was about. But they were talking about going home. They were anxious to get home. They were talking about a place where the bricks and the mortar are, where the roof is and the rooms are. But when I heard it, I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about going to my long home. Going home to be with the one that gave his life for me. To be with God and see his glory that was preached about tonight. to know more about the Holy Spirit of God, to understand more than I know now. I'm not going to read 1 Thessalonians 4 and 15. I think that's pretty familiar to all of us here. But the Lord's coming back. And we're going to be caught up together with Him in the clouds, and we're going home. What a wondrous glory awaits all the saved of God and the church. She awaits her bridegroom. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, but as it is written, I think this is one of the reasons this subject seems so large. And it would to any preacher. It's not just me. God's blessings. The Bible said, but as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. I tried to ask the Lord. It's too big, Lord. I don't know where to start. I don't know where the middle is. Certainly don't know how to end it. We've heard that a lot of times. But what's inside those gates of pearl will be worth everything. That's what the homecoming week song, part of it said. John wrote, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth in Revelation 21 and 1. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. There'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. The former things passed away. God's blessed us. He continues to bless us now. But oh, the future blessings of God. I believe the completeness of God's blessings are contained in one man, Christ Jesus. While studying for the lesson, I had just a few thoughts, and we're going to close with this tonight. I thought to myself, what will I do with this? You know, when the Lord gives you something to do, you need to leave it where He gives you the opportunity. A lot of times we choke back things that God has for us to do. And then maybe at our convenience, we think, well, maybe I'll testify now, or maybe that song, or whatever it might be. And we've choked all the power that God intended that action to have. We've choked all the power out of it. And I asked the Lord, what should I do? And He said, leave it there. Our title of our lesson tonight was God's Blessings. And these thoughts came to me, and it's few verses that came to my mind, and I just, to me, it could be nothing else but God's blessings. To number God's blessings, I could sooner count the leaves that fall from every tree and the number of fish in all the seas. I could easier count my heart beats each day or the number of birds that have flown away. To number God's blessings, I could sooner count the stars in the sky and the clouds passing by. I could easier count the hours the sun would shine or the people I've known through this journey in time. But to number God's blessings, now I see only one. His name is Jesus, and He's God's only Son. He gave up His life on Calvary's tree, His righteous blood sacrificed for you and me. He was God in the flesh to free us from sin, that we through His blood the victory could win. Thank you for your attention and patience. May God bless you is our prayer.